John 13:1. Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Verse 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. Verse 35. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Lord Jesus, thank you for this service so far, and just bless us as we hear your words. We want to hear about your love today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Good morning. You can be seated. It's okay. Unless you want to stand for the whole service, that's pretty much up to you. One of the things I want to add to the Daigles and Pastor Mike and his wife, we have, 140 orphans that say thank you. He has supported in the work in the prison. They have supported 140 orphans in Uganda for many years. That means their support that came from the prison fed them, bought them shoes, helped with building buildings, educate them and train them. So those kids will see you in heaven. Well, maybe they might even get here. Who really knows someday, but we really thank you. Children of Grace thanks you. The ministry of Greater Grace and Children of Grace. And this church has always been so much behind the work with missions and with orphans. And Pastor Stephen said to me a number of years ago, have you ever thought about orphans? I said, not really. I read about it in the Bible a few times. He says, well, what about orphans ministry? And kind of that touched my wife, and then we began. And so the 140 or 150 that are in Uganda are part of 300 orphans that we are ministering to in many different ways. And it's amazing. So there's these great verses here. I was thinking about just a few minutes ago, 5 different fears a person could have. There's a lot of fears. I think Pastor Stevens once had a list of about 40 of them or 30 of them, fears. And fear is a word that means you are put to flight. You just run away. Anybody ever run away? Don't raise your hand. No. Love, it's amazing because love draws you near. Hosea 11:4, Jeremiah 31:1 through 3. And fear makes you run away. Run away. That's why I love the last verse that Pastor Bailey read. Perfect love, what? Casts out fear. By the way, isn't Pastor Bailey a great pastor? You are gifted. You are gifted. Man. If you had me, you wouldn't be clapping that much. No, I'm just joking. yeah. So, understanding the importance of being loved by God, because love is the only thing that can remove fear. Timothy said it in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given me a spirit of fear or timidity, but of love, power, and the sound mind. Sound mind. And I can think about fear. Fear, and the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, 9 through 15 in particular, that Satan wants to keep people in bondage to fear their whole lifetime. Bondage to fear their whole lifetime. And that's something else. That is his objective, to get us to run away from God. And that can happen with believers. We can see Christians, myself, we can have these things, that these fears that pop up. And thank God love can deal with them quickly. Pop-up fears can go away with eternal love. Just being afraid. The first fear in John chapter 13 verse 1 is, he loved his own. Have you ever had the fear that you're not his own? Did you ever have the fear maybe you sin, you fail, you go in the wrong direction, you just say, maybe I just am not his own. Maybe I'm not a Christian. You know, that can happen to people. I was wondering about the prodigal son. What did he think in the pig pen of life? Was he thinking, maybe I'm not my father's son? And that's what can happen. It says he loved his own. Isn't it awesome that we belong to God? Amen. Say that. I belong to God. I love my wife, but I don't belong to her. She loves me, but she doesn't belong to me. But we belong to God. Those orphans belong to God. The Dagles belong to God. He loved his own. We are his own. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17-18. I'm his own. No matter what's going on in my life, isn't that good? Got that, Pilata? Huh? I like that name. I didn't call you the other name today. Thank you. Okay. He's a great young man. And I'm his own. I'm his own. And Satan can never. Did you ever read that verse? The wicked one touches us not. What does that mean? Wait a minute. Are you trying to say that the enemy can't? Yes, he went after Job with God's permission. But the word touch means eternally manipulate. He can't touch you in that way. The word is haptomai. It means he cannot touch you in that way. God has saved us, and by his precious blood redeemed us. His love satisfied the righteousness of God, his blood. He reconciled us to himself. I belong to God. Are you with me? I belong to God. And there's going to be things that happen in our life that would try to get us to think that maybe we don't belong to God. I'm his own. I belong to God. Isn't that amazing? I don't belong to this world. Thank God I don't belong to my family. Get those people. I was in New York City one day and I was going to, I think Pastor Lawson was there. We went to some kind of an Italian thing. You know, there was like, it was in Brooklyn, New York, I think. I'm not sure exactly where it was. And there was a guy at the door and he goes, "What Shabelli are you?" This is a total stranger. He says, "I recognize your face, your features." I'm like, I said, "I don't know who you're talking to." Because I belong to God, amen? I belong to God. I don't belong to my job. Hello? Some people are literally owned by their job. Be very careful the jobs you take. You can be owned by them. They possess you. I think they do that at Hopkins, right? I think they're really good at that. Nothing wrong with that, having a job there. But no job is going to own me. No job is going to own me. No profession is going to own me. And if you're not careful, we can slip right into that. Because that profession doesn't really love you. He loved his what? He loved his own. Well, somebody's here. Okay. He loved his own. I know, I'm just joking. He loved his own. I'm his and he's mine. Song of Solomon, that's what it says. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. It's amazing. I belong to God. Solomon had to find that out after he went in so many directions other than God. Just read Ecclesiastes sometimes and see that it says 86 times in Ecclesiastes, vanity, vexation. By the way, when you have a vexed spirit, you have a vain soul, and then you have a victimized body. A vexed spirit, a vain soul, and your body becomes the victim. Solomon, you belong to God. Are you with me? By the way, that wasn't even his name. I don't know why they made it the Book of Solomon. I guess somebody did. It's okay. But his name was Jedidiah. Nathan the prophet named him Jedidiah. One who's greatly loved by God. Not Solomon. David named him Solomon because he felt that after what he had done and God gave him Solomon, that he had peace with God. Solomon means peace with God. God said, no, he's greatly loved. He's greatly loved. I belong to God. We belong to God. I don't belong to this world. Hello? I don't belong to this world. I'm in it, but I'm not what? Of it. We had a little discussion this morning. I was going to preach on this whole other message, and then it just got changed. Satanic, seducing, substitute love. Maybe we'll talk about it at the wrap. Satanic, seducing, substitute love. I belong to God. The Armans belong to God. Amen? Where's Pastor Chris? Are you here? Yup. I know that voice. I belong to God. I met a guy one time. He was eating out of garbage cans on the streets. I said, what are you doing? Do you belong to that garbage can? He got saved. He got saved and went to Bible school. Belong to God, right? I belong to God. You're not buying me. You're not buying me. Unmarried men and women, you belong to God. Are you with me? Hello? Belong to God. I was talking to a young lady. She was given a ride in a car with a young man. Oh, they're both Christians too. And all of a sudden, she said, all of a sudden I felt his hand on my leg while we were driving. I love you. You are amazing. And he was driving. He stopped really quick and put the brakes on and never. She said, I'm out of the car and don't ever, ever speak to me again. I belong to God, right? The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why alcohol and drugs, if people understood that, you belong to God. This body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I don't need to put in things. I said one time, the people in my family, they had us over for Christmas, and they put wine on the table. They said, next time you put wine on the table, you'll never see me again. You put wine on the table in front of my children, and what happens if they take it up? Next thing you'll do is put a joint on the table. Huh? Then it'll be a needle. Huh? What's next? My children belong to God. Amen? Watch out when you send your children to school, and that's okay. But make sure they know that they belong to God. They belong to God. Richard Wurmbrand was in a train, and he said there were three men in the cabin with him. And they started to play poker. And they said, we need a fourth man in this poker game. He said, I can't play. They said, why? He said, because these hands belong to God. My hands belong to God. I can't let them handle cards and money. By the way, gambling addiction is one of the worst in the world. One of the worst. I had an 18-year-old cousin who was $150,000 in debt to bookmakers. He was 18 years old. It's an addiction. He said, Wurmbrand said, these hands belong to God. Amen? They belong to God. I'm not going to stick a needle in my arm. I belong to God. I'm not going to smoke dope. I belong to God. I'm not going to take a drink. I belong to God. I'm not going to watch pornography. I belong to God. Are you with me? I belong to God. I'm his own. There's nobody like, by the way, say this to yourself. There's nobody like me in the history of the universe. Do you know that? There's nobody like you that's ever been born. I don't even care about twins. That's not even the same. No, they're not, really. They're not. No two people alike. With 7.3 billion people on the earth, and how many have lived on the earth, billions of people, there's no two people alike. And he says, you're my own. Forget about the Passover religion, and definitely forget about Judas. Because even though you're going the wrong way, you don't understand that you belong to me. Judas Iscariot in John 13, right after that, the devil put something in his heart. I belong to God. I'm not, by the way, not for sale. Not for sale.
Amen.
At your age, shouldn't you be doing something else? You could, you know, do this, do that. No, I belong to God. Are you with me? Say it, I belong to God. Pastor Manny, you belong to God. Molly, you belong to God. Peter, you belong to God. Mine belongs to God, right? Get rid of everything else. Hello? Somebody said to me one time, they said, we're having a kind of like a little thing here about who's the next pastor in Baltimore. And I had two people come to my office and they just said to me, we just thought we were going to, God really laid it on our heart to give you $10,000 for Africa missions. I said, that's interesting. Would you come to the bathroom with me? I have to use the bathroom. Just come. We'll talk on the way. We get to the bathroom and I said, because I knew what their game was. They were out for a certain person to be pastor other than Pastor Schaller. So I said, what I'd like you to do is drop your pants and bend over because I'm going to take this check and shove it. I'm sorry, that's very uncouth and not good, but the illustration is fine. You can't buy me with money. Are you listening? You're not buying me with money or influence. Well, if I become the pastor, I'll make you the, you'll make me what? You'll make me a nobody. I belong to God. I'm his own. I'm his own. Don't live in the fear of thinking that something you've done or something you could do could make you not be his own. I'm his own. Deny me. You're my own. Doubt me, Thomas. You're my own. Leave me, you other 10. You're my own. Or 9. You're my own. Been bought with a price. You're mine. Isn't that awesome? Huh? I'm his own. That's why. Watch out for seducing spirits. There's a lot of them in the last days. Seducing. You know, people leave churches to get a better job in another state. But you know what? I belong to God and I belong to this church. I'm with this church. Now you can be seduced by a better job. You'll find out later what that better job brings in. It could be all kinds of interesting things. I belong to God. And there's no, that casts out fear. His love has made me his own. I belong to him. It's not going to change. The second thing is, he's going to love me to the end. God's going all the way with you. Amen? He's going all the way. He's not quitting. God is not a quitter. People quit. They do. They quit. Quit coming to church. They quit this. They quit that. Marriages in America? It's unbelievable. What happened? Well, she looked at me funny, so I divorced her. Well, I look at you funny, too, the way you look. It's unbelievable how it can happen. No. God is married to us, Israel, the church, and with us, the Holy Spirit marriage, to the end. Amen? It's going all the way. Doesn't stop, start, stop, start, stop, start, based upon my performance. He'll love me to the end. And there's a lot of people that fear, you know. Well, I know God loves me, but I wonder what's going to happen when I get older. You already are old. I don't worry about that anymore. Somebody said, what are you going to do when you're older? I said, I am. By the way, 73 is not old. Somebody was laughing at me one day. They said, how old are you? I said, 73. They said, wow, you really are? Hey, you're getting up, you're getting close. I said, what would you like me to preach at your funeral? God's going to be with me to the end. I didn't mean that in the wrong way, okay? I just meant like, you know what? He's with me to the end, right, Sal? He's with you to the end. To the end. I want to hear your voice in an African conference. I want to have your body in Africa one time, and we want to have you do music and minister. By the way, you really minister to people. Just wanted to tell you that. Yeah, we were talking about that. You really minister to people. I believe I could be wrong. I'm not his pastor, but I think he has great pastoral gifts. So drop the guitar and pick up the book and then learn the book, get ordained, and then pick up the guitar again. A little bit. I'm sorry. Did I take liberty? I shouldn't have. That's how I am. To the end, Armindo. To the end, right? Going all the way. I don't care. By the way, I don't care if everybody hates you. God loves you to the end. I was asked to leave a church once. Remember, Pastor Don? They said, we think it would be better if you weren't here. I was there when the church was like 8 people. All those years. And they brought me into a meeting and they said, if you're going to stay with greater grace, we think it's better that you shouldn't be here.
I said, wow, thank you. And there was even people that were very close to me for years.
Oh, really?
So you're not loving me to the end.
It's okay, because God will.
And boy, that was my exit to Baltimore.
Choong! Gone.
I asked Pastor Stevens about it. He says, I think it's God. I said, really? This is, my parents are here. I lived here. He said, it's God. It's God. So we got this U-Haul, put one couch in it that smelled, because it was 6 years in somebody's basement.
To the end. I didn't know what they were going to do, but I knew.
By the way, Pastor Don Benoit and Sharon, they're my friends to the end. I know that.
To the end, huh? Are you listening? Huh? Pastor George, Carol, to the end, right?
Wow, so you're 17 years old, God's going to do it to the end. He loved his own, so don't fear that you could lose him. And don't fear that the future is like.
He'll be with you, loving you to the what? To the end.
How many people fear the future? Don't put your hand up.
No, we fear the future, don't we? It's going to happen. What's going on?
I was in a hospital one time and the doctor said, we got to remove your appendix right away. It's an emergency. I didn't have an appendix problem. I had a kidney stone.
It's a little different, isn't it? I'm going to rip my appendix out in Africa when I got a kidney stone problem. Thank you. I'll probably take my heart out because I have a headache.
I'm sorry, Pastor Lawson, but it was just wasn't a good hospital I was in. It wasn't the best place. And then they transferred me to the military hospital where they corrected me and helped me. Wow, to the end. Judas ain't lasting long. Right? People forsook Jesus, right? This happens today. But he loved his own, so don't fear you're his own. Next, don't fear the future because he'll love you to the end. Next, the third love that casts out the third fear is the fear of being a disciple. I like coming to church, but this discipleship business is for Pastor Bailey and for Pastor Ronaldo and for Pastor Shabelli. Not me. I know exactly. I've already set my parameters to how far I'm going to go.
Oh, really?
You have, huh? Discipleship, love will bring us into discipleship. Amen? Love will bring us into discipleship, not just coming to church, but really growing as a Christian. Don't fear discipleship. Hello? It just means being a learning one. People, when you use that word disciple, people go, huh? What? Oh, I got something in my ear. Discipleship. People fear it. They fear it. I just want to be in the church. I want to be a Sunday church goer. I want to hear the message. I'm born again. I want to get to heaven. Don't you want to take anybody with you? Discipleship. Don't you want to grow? Hello? I want to grow. Yup. Right? Discipleship. Amen? People fear it. But I am the disciple whom Jesus loves. John 13:23, 19:26, 20. Chapter 20, verse 2, 21, 7, and 21, 20. This is who he says he is. I'm loved by Jesus. That's what makes me a disciple. We just don't have, you've got it in you. No. Love can bring you to discipleship. Amen? Love took you off the golf course, right? I mean, you still can play golf. I don't know how good.
Have you ever hit a chicken without feathers with a golf ball?
That's your next goal. If you're a discipleship, right? Pastor? Right?
When somebody said that word, what did you used to think?
You left. You went away, right?
Phew!
Disciple?
No.
Church. Yeah, church. I'm playing churchianity. This is churchianity. Churchy. Let's play churchy.
Please, don't take it wrong. Take it any way you want, but I'm just saying,
that's what somebody, just church. And then they come once a week, and then before you know it, they come once a month. Before you know it, they come at Christmas.
It's just a gradual downslide. Because people love to play churchy. They fear, and the reason is they fear discipleship, but God's love can remove that fear.
Amen?
They fear that. I'm the disciple whom Jesus loves.
Then there's another thing that people fear. Some people fear the church. They fear relationships in the body. They just want to be like, it's a surface thing. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love what?
Some people are afraid to love people because they,
you know, I love them. You know what they did?
Yeah.
Did they crucify you?
What did they do?
And they, there's a fear of relationships because I don't want anybody really to know what I'm like because they'll take advantage of me. Fear of relationships. Because maybe in our lives we've been burned by some relationships. Don't raise your hand, but have you ever been burned by a relationship? Oh yeah. Huh? It's happened. I remember my friends when I got saved. You know what they said to me? There was like 8 of them. They said, don't bring that Jesus stuff around here. You should just go your way.
That showed me where those friendships were at. That's where they were at. I got converted and they
drove me out. Relationship fears. Intimacy with people. There's something about that. People are, you know, you get intimate, something happens, and then you get disappointed and all that. Well, Jesus says, don't fear that. Don't fear relationships in the body. Don't fear body life. Love will take that fear what? Away. You are loved in the church. And maybe you went to a church, and of course you have a great church that loves, but people go to churches where they never receive love. And they're never loved by anybody, and they never befriended by anybody, and so that's what their idea of. By the way, when I evangelize, I hardly use the word church when I evangelize. You know why? Sometimes it hits a scar. It hits an unconscious wound because of what's happened in their church. A guy said to me one time, don't mention that word. He says, you don't know what happened to me at this particular church. I don't know if he was right or he was wrong. But don't fear relationships. Amen? Godly relationships. Relationships one with another. We're going to be in heaven together. Did you know that? Hello? You think some people are going to be so far away you're never going to see them? I don't believe that's the way it is. I think we're going to be together. Amen? Don't run away. Can't run in heaven anyway. You can, maybe angels can take you someplace, but that's about it. Fear of relationships. You know what the last fear is? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. The gospel. People fear telling somebody the gospel. Do you know they fear you more than you fear them? They do. What's he going to say? Don't fear sharing the gospel with people. People need the Lord, amen? There's a fear. And what are we worried about? The results, what they might say to us? What they might do? I had a guy recently, I said to him, Jesus loves you. He goes, go to hell.
I said, well, that's where you're going if you don't receive what I said.
He's like, what did you say? Fear the gospel. God gives us opportunities, whether it's a track, it's a prayer. We could see this church, this facility will be of no use anymore. If you doubled, what's going to happen? You can't fit twice as many seats in here now, right? You got to build a new, you get a piece of land and build a new building. Hello? Ah, the gospel. It's a great message to bring the people. God loves you. God cares for you. He doesn't count. He's not looking at it. He can't even see your sin. Don't fear the gospel. People in your neighborhood, people that are around you. And we do. We do. Guy came next door. I was getting ready for church. It was about 15 minutes before church. And a guy knocked on my door. And he just, he said something to me. You know, he wanted to know if he could borrow something. And I said, I haven't got time right now. I got to go to church. My wife was standing behind me. She said, isn't he the guy that has the heroin problem that you've been praying to God that he would come your way? I said, yeah. She goes, well, what's wrong with you? You brought him right to your door. And you're so busy going to church, you forgot about him.
Click. I found him. Click.
Maybe for a few moments I had a little bit of intimidation. Lived in a little bit of fear, you know? Don't fear sharing the gospel with people, whether you're young and there's other teenagers, the pressure of peers, the pressure of family, the pressure of friends, the pressure of work associates, the pressure that would come. It's the devil trying to keep people in fear. By the way, do you know that in America, only 3 out of every 100 born-again believers evangelize? That's amazing. That's shocking to me. And even less teach others how to do it. No, it's not a common thing anymore. Never was like that before. But Satan brought in what? Fear. He brought in fear.
so that people would be afraid of people's faces.
Let's let love deliver us from those fears. Amen? We are his own. Don't fear. He's with you to the end and into eternity. Don't fear. He loves you into discipleship. He loves you in the church. And he loves you and will use all of us to bring the gospel to a lost and dying world. That's the mission. Amen? Father, thank you this morning for perfect love cast out fear.
Perfect love cast out fear. He loves me. I'm his own. He loves me eternally. He loves me. Make me a disciple. He loves me. I can trust relationships in the body of Christ. He loves me. I could bring the gospel to Marlboro and a lost and dying world.
We thank you this morning. This perfect love casts out the fear that maybe I'm not his own. The fear that is going to end sometime. The fear of discipleship. The fear of relationships in the church. The fear of evangelism and missions. Perfect love cast out fear. For fear has torment. But love sets us free. If you are here this morning, you've never received Jesus Christ. With our eyes closed, our heads bowed. Don't fear. Don't fear. Let perfect love cast out any fear you have. You're not joining a church. You're joining, letting Jesus join you. With our eyes closed, our heads bowed, all you have to do is make a decision. Jesus loves me. Receive it. That's all. I receive you as my personal Savior. My Savior. Not just the God, but my Savior. You become mine. That's your prayer with our eyes closed, our heads bowed. Just put your hand up. Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. And for the church, all of us today, that we would let God drive those fears out. God's love casts out fear. It doesn't walk fear out the door and gradually dismiss it. It throws it right out. Thrusts it out. On his own. Amen? It's to the end. Eternally. Amen? Makes me a disciple. Builds relationships in the church. Gives me a heart for the gospel. We thank you. That follows in Jesus' name. Amen.